I'd like to begin first by wishing all of us a happy Thanksgiving and expressing my hope that each of us in this room had a chance to connect with those we hold dear, our loved ones, our families, and these friends, and to consider quite thoughtfully and quite meaningfully the many ways that we are given so much and have much to be thankful for. Each of us in this room comes from a source beyond ourselves, a source of immense power and beauty, magic and mystery. And this source imbues us with a power that really is just beyond our ability to fully comprehend. We are far more powerful, far more amazing, far more capable than we ever give ourselves credit for. You know, we are the result of this cascade of events and circumstances that has conspired over the course of centuries to bring us to this place and this moment in time. We are no accident. We are life yearning for self-expression, life yearning for creativity, for new ways of being, for new possibilities. All of that is contained in this physical form that we call our own. And yes, we belong to ourselves, but we also belong to a vast constellation of life. This is crucial, crucial knowledge that we must not forget. But you know what happens? We forget it every single day. Event after event occurs, and we lose sight of our true origin, our true nature. And the moments when we lose sight most tend to be those times when we feel helpless, lost, powerless. When we forget our true nature, we become powerless. And that's where I want to propose a radical idea, because it is at those times that we must do something radical and provocative. Those moments when we are feeling helpless and sorry for ourselves, that is when we need to help someone other than ourselves. When we are feeling helpless, we must help someone. An amazing idea. And here's why it's amazing. Here's why it's a little counterintuitive. It kind of just runs against the grain of most of what we're taught. If you've ever ridden on you've taken a plane, right, and the flight attendants are giving you the instructions on what you need to do to preserve your life in the event that something happens on this flight, they let you know that the exits are in the front and in the rear, and there might be an exit on the side. Sometimes the exit is behind you. They also let you know that in the event that the cabin loses its pressure, that oxygen masks will appear. And before you put the mask onto your child, before you put your mask onto grandma, you have to put your own oxygen mask on first. But it's like, wait, no, I want to help my kid. I want to help grandma. No, you have to put your own mask on first. And if you take that train of thought down, you know, down the road to other kinds of iterations, it would lead you to conclude that, no, I must help myself before I help anyone else in all situations in my life. And to some extent, that is true. There is a basic level of self-care that you must engage with in order to survive. Right? You have to groom yourself. You have to eat. You have to find shelter from the elements. You have to seek out medical or psychological care if you need it. But once that basic groundwork has been established, that basic minimum level of care towards yourself, then you have to step up to the next level and care for your spiritual self. And your spiritual self receives care in caring for others. An important lesson, but one that we often forget. I forgot it recently. I was sitting at home in front of the computer on Monday night, watching the results of the decision in Ferguson, Missouri, as I'm sure many of us in this room watched that night, seeing what seemed to be occurring on the screen, that there would be no consequence for killing an unarmed black teenager. And seeing that that seems to be a pattern of events that goes on again and again in this country. Seeing that from my couch at home and feeling absolutely powerless to respond, to do anything about it. And I'm sure that that sense of powerlessness was felt by many in this room. How could this be happening again and again and again? This pattern of state-sponsored violence, it seems. This pattern where those who kill seemingly are not held accountable for their actions. I didn't understand. I don't understand. And that sense of powerlessness is not unique to me or to us in this room. It is also part of a pattern that has happened again and again. In our reading this morning, Strange Fruit, Maropol, who was a Jewish English teacher in the Bronx, New York, struggled to understand the travesty occurring in his time, the travesty of lynching that occurred in the American South. Maropol in the Bronx couldn't be further away from the magnolia-scented fields that are sometimes scented with the flesh that burns, burning human flesh. I imagine how helpless he must have felt at that time, so far away. And how does he respond? He responds with that poem. He responds as a witness to the travesty occurring in his time. And so the question for us is, how might we be witnesses to the travesties that occur in our own time? On Tuesday, I participated in a vigil at the Restoration Church, our sister church in Mount Airy, and was really strengthened by the power of the witness of that community. Many people in this room were actually at the vigil, in addition to people who had never heard of Unitarian Universalists before, crowded the small sanctuary on Stenton Avenue. And I have to admit that while I participated in that vigil, I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be at home. I wanted to be sad and miserable and wanted to feel my helplessness, kind of marinating in it. But once I got to the vigil, that changed. The heaviness that I went into the room with dissipated. It didn't go away altogether, but it became less. And part of that had to do with the fact that while I was feeling helpless, I was able to help someone. In that service, there were opportunities for various people to share their experiences, to share their testimonies, their hopes for the future, their prayers. And I, along with the other clergy, read those slips of paper, giving them a voice that maybe they did not know they had. Being present, being a witness, these are all the hallmarks of being of service. And that is what we are called to do as a people of faith, to go beyond ourselves, to make those connections, to be in places where we can help. That is how we respond to helplessness, by helping. Now, of course, there are many ways that you can do that. My example of the vigil is just one way that's available to us. Now, the original quote, "if you're feeling helpless, help someone," comes from Aung San Suu Kyi, the Burmese political leader, who for 15 years lived under house arrest after winning the election in her country, its first free and fair election. She was under house arrest for 15 years. And when the reporters asked her, "What do you do in this situation? You are confined to your house." She says, "When I'm feeling helpless, I help someone. When we are feeling helpless, we can help someone." And by that, you see why she was considered the greatest threat to the military regime in Burma, because of her deep understanding of her power, even in the confines of her own home. The 19th century Unitarian minister, our own famous Ralph Waldo Emerson, says that one of the greatest gifts of this mystery that we call life is that no man can help another man without, in the end, helping himself. He describes it as life's greatest compensation. And that is something that I want for us to hold on to, that no one person can help another without also helping themselves. Now, I'm not saying that that should be the sole motivation that you have, that I'm helping you because I want to help myself. But allow yourself to feel blessed by that possibility, that by helping others, you also help yourself. It is an amazing part of life. And it's an amazing reminder of who we really are and where we really come from. It is through our connections to others that we connect with our true selves. And if we could remember that, not only would we be better in and of ourselves, but this world would be a better place. You see, there's no such thing as helplessness in the end. There's lack of creativity. There's lack of imagination. There are needs for connection that are not finding expression. But there is no such thing as helplessness. There is only you and your ability to be of service. If you are feeling helpless, don't just sit there. Don't just stay. Help someone. If we can remember that, it would make the world of difference. Amen, and may it be so.